that the establishment press is out to get him doesn't mean that great journalism is not being done. It is. But the notion that most of us look upon Donald Trump as being an absolute fiasco, he's not mistaken in that perception, and he's not mistaken when so many of the liberal media, for example, describe themselves as belonging to the resistance.
Wow, that is Ted Koppel. You know, this is Nightline. That's Ted Koppel kind of blowing the lid off of, you know, what a lot of us have been talking about for a while. But in the mainstream media, they're clueless about it. We're going to ask Chris Wallace his opinion on those statements by the legend Ted Koppel when I get him on here about 8:37 this morning. So stay tuned for that. We're going to get to all of that and more for you. We'll get to your phone calls at 314-241-9797. Right now, though, I want to tell you about something fun that is coming up for you that you can take part in over the course of the weekend, and that is Schlafly Beer celebrating its 20th annual Stout and Oyster Festival. How about that? You can't beat that. Stephen Hill's here with us, one of the founding brewers of Schlafly, and we've got to Raul Jeffords with us too, who is a shucker. Did I get that correct, Raul?
You got that correct.
He's a shucker. You got to be careful with that
cool.
Now. Stephen, tell us what your tell us what this festival is all about.
Tell you what kind of shucker Raul is.
Please do.
After I tell
explain
you,
that to
after
us.
I tell you that we are so overly excited about the 20th annual Stout and Oyster Festival held at the Schlafly Taproom, a mere blocks from where we are.
No kidding.
At 21st and Locust tomorrow night. Friday evening it starts at 5 o'clock. Saturday starts at 11 o'clock. Goes until the, I would say, mid evening is a good time, or until the oysters are out. We are specifically open until 9 p.m. So 5 o'clock, 5 to 9 on Friday, 11 to 9 on Saturday. 20th annual Stout and Oyster.
So what is the, from a brewer's perspective, are you rolling out unique stouts you don't normally have? What have you cooked up for people?
Yes, very much. There's a lot of excitement about the 10 different stouts we brewed specifically for this festival that include things like Tabasco Stout, Horseradish Stout, Peanut Butter and Jelly, S'mores. Oh, there's a variety of others.
Kidding.
They're posted online on www.schlafly.com. So
did you bring some for us to try this morning? What did you bring?
I brought you an example of our variety pack, most of which will also be available, called the Stout Bout. And in here we have Dulce de Leche, Mango Ancho Stout, Mexican Chocolate Stout, and Raspberry Coffee Stout. And I have a couple bottles to share if the listening audience wants to hear us drink beer.
While Stephen is pouring the stout of his choice over there, let me get to Raul real quick. You came in from out of town just for this festival, right?
Yes, I did. Came in out of Washington State.
Washington State, where you are a shucker. How does one get that title?
One opens a lot of oysters. Be graced with the name of shucker, but I'm a shellfish farmer by trade.
Oh, wow. So tell people a little bit about that. That's a pretty interesting profession.
I work with a company called Penn Cove Shellfish LLC, and we grow mussels, oysters, and clams in Washington State. And we ship out 80,000 oysters to this event each year.
Wow.
And over 200 gallons of pre-shucked oysters for the poor boys, fried oysters, and all that stuff at the event this weekend. Mm.
So what's the key to a good oyster? I will have to admit, I'm not an aficionado of oysters, personally.
I personally love them.
They're staring at me like, what's wrong with you?
What is wrong?
I love them.
I just never developed a taste for them.
That's probably because you've never had a West Coast oyster.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Oh,
I
could be.
I am a little biased.
Raul, remember, I'm from Maine.
Yes, sir.
You flew in what? What'd you say, 23 years ago?
Yeah, I moved here 27 years ago to help open the tap room, getting ready for 20 years of Oyster Festival.
So is there really a difference between an East Coast and a West Coast oyster?
I think they're both great, and I support both.
Ah, there you
oh
go.
Boy, so he's running for election this year, isn't he?
I know who's got that.
Hey, Mark, let's just be thankful the Colorado boys didn't bring their version of an oyster.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
Rocky Mountains.
Well, yeah, they've got those in Kentucky too, I hear.
Oh, right.
Tell me what did you give me here?
I gave you Mexican chocolate stout. That's what we're tasting right now, which is our version of a Mexican hot chocolate. A really tasty, full-bodied stout. Cinnamon is one of the more salient characteristics. Really lovely and refreshing. I didn't have a cold raspberry coffee stout. I thought that might be good, but I'll save that for you guys.
So I guess my question is why the combination of stout and oysters? What is the, because generally you're looking for some sort of a drink that complements the oyster, correct? Does this just get rid of the taste in your mouth or what?
No, it's just a good balance. The salinity and brininess of a cold oyster combined with a stout served at the right temperature, a good roasty mouthfeel, roasted characteristics and flavors and aromas, and a really rich, malty body goes well together. For people who like other beverages that I can't name on the air because I'm a brewer, they can have what they want. But we think stout is the best combination with the oyster. So
I think that's fantastic. Did you girls try it?
It's really good. It's delicious.
Did you get that roasty mouthfeel he was talking about? Mm-hmm. I've never heard it described like
that
before.
I'm a big stout fan.
I'm
into this.
Outstanding.
You get the whole 12-pack, Tricia.
Yes.
Stephen, give us the rundown again on when people can show up at the tap room up here. I think of it as being on Olive, but you're saying Locust and 21st,
21st
right?
And Locust. Just go straight up Olive. You can't drive any further than 21st Street on Locust because the street is blocked off. Two huge tents. The inside is open. There are some key fun things about the whole event. Oysters, the stout, the bands. We have a great band lineup Friday night, all day Saturday night, and the Star Shuckers, even like Raw as a Star Shucker. Friday night, 5 to 9, Saturday, 11 to 9 at the Schlafly Taproom downtown, 21st and Locust. Schlafly.com has all the information, and the crew is putting in a huge amount of hard work. Thank you, guys. Look forward to 20th annual and seeing these guys up there.
Fun. Sounds
thank
great.
You. Yeah, thank yeah. you for coming in this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to come by just to see an expert shucker at work.
Yes.
Raul, thank you.
Thank you for
having
us.
I'm going to try one of those West Coast oysters and
we'll
just see what I think
tap
about
room.
That. All right, good.
Thank you
both for coming in. We appreciate that. A quick break here. I'll get to your phone calls. 314-241-9797. Chris Wallace from Fox News Sunday at 8:37. Stick around.
That suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
All right, Ron Swanson, thank you. You don't think I didn't offend my fellow shuckers here, did I?
I hope
when
not.
I said, do you select the stout that you drink with it to cover up the taste? I'm just not an oyster guy. I'm just not. I've eaten them before in the past. I'm not the person that's going to go somewhere and order a big plate of oysters in front of me. I've definitely tried them. I'm just not always my, you know, it's not been my thing.
It's just a very, like,
that's okay.
We were talking about.
You're just brutally honest.
Very honest reaction.
I don't know.
But we were talking about it off air too. That like horseradish and stuff, those stouts might be really good with oysters. Mm-hmm. I think that their pairing choices
would definitely be up for the try.
Yeah.
Depends on what you're putting on most oysters. You put something on top of them, right?
I like some
hot sauce mm-hmm. or something.
I like, the only time I've ever had oysters, they were covered in a lot of cheese,
which is again something that kind of cover up the taste. I'm speculating here. I'm just speculating.
He's not an oyster guy. He's not an oyster guy, but
that's okay.
If you are, Stout and Oyster Festival.
Yes.
Coming up this weekend there at Schlafly. That should be fun.
And this beer is rocking.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Who's driving you home? You can Uber home.
I can't Uber home.
It cost me like $45 to Uber home. I did that one time. That's a long way.
Yeah,
makes Uber happy.
You got to really want that second cocktail.
You do.
For that.
Yeah, that's a long drive. Let me tell you that. Well, I think we should do a no merger minute. Could you do that for me?
I think I can.
Oh, please.
This is your no merger minute.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
You need to get your head out of your butt, focus on the real issues.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
How about new?
Not a good night last night for the folks at Better Together. They want you to think that you're better together, but about 90%+ of the crowd, by estimates I'm reading here from friends who were there, showed up at their meeting last night, and they were vocally opposed to this. Vocally opposed, including St. Louis County Councilmember Tim Fitch, who, of course, used to be the county police chief. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we've invited Florissant Police Chief Tim Lowry to come on the show tomorrow?
Correct.
Okay. Because as with many of these chiefs, they've got a lot of serious concerns about what happens to any version of local policing, if you turn this into some, St. Louis United Kingdom police force, there are lots of concerns here. So Tim Fitch is now a member of county council. He showed up last night and he questioned them because if you look on their website, one of their arguments in favor of this boondoggle is that, we have 88 different municipalities and 75% of their police forces are unaccredited. Well, we had somebody on from the St. Louis Police Chiefs Association a month and a half ago, and he goes, that's just not true. In fact, the number's closer to 90% now, and it's something we've been working on. Come to find out, these numbers are several years old, but Better Together still uses them to try to bolster their argument. Go to cut 23, Councilman Tim Fitch, please.
Is there any room for negotiation in this plan, or is it a done deal? If it's a done deal, why are we all here?
The former chief sent it out during the meeting tonight, and he says the first slide on tonight's slideshow said 75% of police agencies are unaccredited, and Fitch says that 90% of police agencies in the county are now accredited or in the process of that, and he says the data from the slide is from 2014.
Yeah, thank you. That's a reporter from a Fox 2 reporting on that last night, kind of pointing out the fact that... why are you using old data that's not accurate to try to make your argument? At least have the decency to stop using false data. If you're going to go to meetings and try to scare people into thinking that the only way you can have a safe and quote unquote accredited police department is to go through this and the other. So first of all, you need to understand that police accreditation is not like school accreditation. It's not the same thing. It is a series of policies they suggest you have in place. And in order to receive the accreditation, you have to send them documentation proving that you have certain policies in place before you're accredited. Well, if you heard that report, 90% of the police departments in the county now either have that or they're working toward it. But it's unlike a school accreditation where a school has to be accredited for somebody's credits to count for an institution of higher learning. That's something completely different. It's a different set of standards. So it's being used by Better Together as a way to scare people into thinking, if we don't make this radical, unconstitutional move, then you're going to be at risk because your police department's not accredited. These are the kinds of things we're going to keep you up to date on. Stopmerger.org is a website you can go to. Jennifer Byrd and others were out there last night with the signs trying to get the message out to people that we want you to let St. Louisans decide the future of their government and not people in Cape Girardeau or Kansas City. That's what we want. 314-241-9797. I'll get to more of your phone calls coming up. Chris Wallace is going to join us from Fox News Sunday. I'm going to ask him about not only the president's dust up with the late John McCain's legacy, but also the comments by Ted Koppel about how biased the mainstream media is toward this president. It's all coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
At the breakfast table with my wife during the campaign, after the Access Hollywood tape came out, and the New York Times, and I will not offend any of you here by using the language, but you know exactly what words we used. And they were spelled out on the front page of the New York Times. I turned to my wife and I said, the Times is absolutely committed to making sure that this guy does not get elected.
Chris Wallace joining us right now from Fox News Sunday. And Chris, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What is your reaction to Ted Koppel's comments regarding the mainstream media?
Well, frankly, I've been saying it for a couple of years, which is I think it goes both ways. And I've been trying to do it in an even-handed way, which is one, I do think the president has been involved in the greatest attack on the media, on the free press in our history, talking about the enemy of the people, repeatedly talking about fake news. But having said that, and the quote I always use, the old quote is, even hypochondriac sometimes gets sick, he does have a point. And that while I think he paints with way too broad a brush, I think that some of the media have gone over the line and become partisans in attacking this president. So, you know, I think it's a fault to be found on both sides.
Yeah, he called out the Times and the Washington Post by name and said that, you know, there was a time in the history of both of those publications when anything editorial would have been buried on the editorial page, and now you often find it on the, you know, the top half of the newspaper, above the fold.
I agree with that. I will say that the particular case that he took, I think he was completely wrong about it. I think he was right, but for other reasons, not this one. I mean, when the Access Hollywood tape came out, that was news and should have been on the front page of a paper. That a president or a presidential candidate had said that kind of thing. But do I think there have been plenty of... The one that I always remember was 2 days after the election. 2 days. So this is now Thursday morning. And if you remember, we didn't even know the election results until about 3 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So this is really the first paper that's going to cover the new Trump presidency. And I think the headline on the front page of the paper was, Students, Democrats, and Foreign Leaders Deal with Trump presidency. And I thought, gee, of all the things you could say, you know, Donald Trump elected, new populist agenda, all of that stuff, that seemed to me to be incredibly biased.
Yeah, I saw a headline yesterday about the Supreme Court decision regarding ICE going out and grabbing people who've been released from jail. And the headline was, Supreme Court deals blow to immigrants as opposed to President Trump gets a victory with Supreme Court ruling or something like that.
Or you know, Supreme Court cracks down on illegal immigrants who commit crimes.
Yeah.
You know, don't even make it a political thing at all. Yes, I agree. There is certainly bias in headlines. There's certainly bias in coverage. Again, I say, and I really emphasize this, I do think the president paints with too broad a brush. But having said that, I do think there is some bias in the media and some people who I think have decided, because they think this president goes over the line, that gives them an excuse to go over the line themselves. And I think that's exactly the wrong reaction. I think particularly in these times, we have to stay more objective, more down the middle, just report the facts, don't offer opinions than ever, because otherwise I think you just play into his game, which is that we are partisans, which we shouldn't be.
Right. You know, this week the president's drawn a lot of attention for his comments about John McCain. Let me play one of those, please.
I endorsed him at his request, and I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay. We sent him on the way, but I wasn't a fan of John McCain.
Yeah. The president's garnered a lot of headlines for this. You know, I pointed out to several people that, you know, it didn't just come out of the blue. His initial tweets about it were in response to the deposition that was unveiled, giving us specifics on how McCain's office came into custody of the Steele dossier.
Well, yeah, except you have to go back further than that, which is to Donald Trump during the 2015, during the campaign in Iowa, saying that he didn't think John McCain was a war hero because war heroes don't get captured. I'm not saying who's right or wrong between John McCain and Donald Trump, but the man has been dead for 7 months. Don't we think it's time to leave him alone? And, you know, here was the president. I mean, just on a practical level, here was the president out at a factory in Ohio that had actually been rejuvenated since he came in and was, you know, building the Abrams tanks, and he wanted to talk about manufacturing jobs, and there has been a legitimate increase, for which he deserves some credit, in manufacturing jobs since he became president 2 years ago. And instead, he sits there and talks about how he wasn't thanked for the funeral he gave for a war hero. It just seems very petty, and it also seems very counterproductive.
Yeah, well, yeah, possibly. And I know he was disinvited from the funeral by John McCain, which also clearly got under his skin a little bit. You know, this week we may, or I know I shouldn't say this week because it's already Thursday, but we're under the belief, apparently, in general, that the Mueller report...
Oh, please don't say this, Mark. Do you know how long... we have said this, and I don't know if I've said it here, I've said it to other people, just take the over. Just, I mean, yes, at some point, and no, people are talking about it for this week, but it just, I mean, how many times, I remember the first time I heard this was John Dowd, who was then the private lawyer for Donald Trump, said, this will be done by Thanksgiving.
Right.
And that was 2017. We're now almost a year and a half later, and we're still waiting for this to wrap up. It may wrap up today. It may not wrap up for 6 months. I don't have a clue. No, you know, in the Reagan White House, they used to have a famous saying, which I always thought was pretty good. Those who know aren't talking. Those who talk don't know.
Right.
So when it comes out, I'll cover it. But until then, I'm not going to speculate.
I guess my question is not so much as to when it's going to come out, but I would think that the fact that it would be made public would almost be a foregone conclusion. After this many months of an investigation, wouldn't the American public demand to know what's in that?
Yeah, they would, but it's really up to the Attorney General. The way the regulation is written, I mean, you know, the Attorney General is supposed to enforce the laws. The way the regulation's written is that whenever it comes out, and again, folks, take the over, right. Whatever anybody says, always that it's going to be longer than that. It is a confidential report from the special counsel to the Attorney General. Then the special counsel is out of business. He shuts down, and the Attorney General decides what to release. And the only person he's supposed to release it to is Congress. That's under the regulations. I'm sure he'll also release whatever he's going to release to the president. Now, having said that, if he's, you know, there are two ways he can go. He can be very restrictive, and you know, release very, very little. And you know, there is an argument for that. And the argument is, and this is one of the things Comey got in such trouble, if you're not going to charge a person with a crime, generally speaking, prosecutors from, you know, your local DA all the way up to the FBI and the Justice Department don't comment on it. If you're not going to charge somebody, you don't do what James Comey did in 2016 and say, well, you know, I'm not going to charge Hillary, but she was terrible and she was really careless and she did all these bad things, which is what got him into so much trouble the rest of the, you know, of that election year.
Sure.
The flip side of it is he could be very kind of loose on it and just say, if there's classified information or sources and methods, I'm not going to release it, but everything else I will. We don't know. I mean, that's the interesting thing is, let's say he releases it today, you know, just for the sake of argument. That might be all we find out, that he has given his report to the Attorney General, and then the Attorney General, who probably hasn't seen it yet, is going to have to sit there and decide what he's going to do with it. So all we may find out is that the special counsel has given the report to the Attorney General, at least for the first day or so.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Chris Wallace said it's going to be released today. Did you
yes,
hear him?
Yeah,
mark
did,
the tape.
Breaking
and
news.
I said, take the under.
Yeah. Speaking of the under, Chris, do you have any interest in this college basketball tournament that's about to kick off today?
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. I always enjoy it. I will say I'm not a huge college basketball fan, which means that with the exception of a few very big schools like Duke, I don't know a single team in the, I mean, I know the names of the schools, but I don't know any of the players. I don't know. So, you know, but that's one of the great things is today is a great day. The TV will be on in my office all day.
Good.
You know, I'll look up and I'll see two teams, and I don't know a single player or another team playing, and it'll be a 15 beating a 2, and it's always kind of fun.
It's fun to watch. All right, Chris, so we appreciate it. We'll be watching Fox News Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Take the over.
Take the over, that's right. Chris Wallace there, Fox News Sunday, of course, coming up this weekend at 1 o'clock Central, 6 p.m. Central, on the Fox News Network, of course, Fox News Channel. And we carry it here at, 5 o'clock, I think, right, in the afternoon on Sunday on FM News Talk 97.1. I may or may not have my NCAA bracket pulled up on the screen right now. Take the over. I'm just telling you, whoever you're voting on. Just don't root for Louisville. Louisville's like one of the first teams to play today. And they put them up against Minnesota, who's coached by the son of their former coach at Loserville. You know they did that on purpose, right? Just to ramp up. So I'm wearing my I Hate Louisville t-shirt as just because of that. Hey, our friend Thomas Helbig is in the studio right now. We've got another one of his Protecting Your Retirement educational events next Tuesday. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm good.
Good to see
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me on.
You don't strike me as a betting man, but do you have any interest in this college basketball brackets?
A little bit.
A little, yeah.
A little bit.
Do you have a team, your favor?
No. I just, no? No, not really.
You just see the last 2 minutes of any close baseball game.
Because I know you go out to Vegas on occasion just for visits. And
but I'm not a big gambler.
No, not a big
gambler. I like the shows and the restaurants and all that stuff.
Yeah. Weather's great out there, too. Yeah.
Oh, the best restaurants, the best chefs in the world, I'm telling you.
Yeah. It does me no good to bet on basketball, because I always bet with my heart and not my head.
Exactly. Yep.
So I always bet on my University of Kentucky Wildcats, and that's why I've only won my pool twice in the last 20 years.
The two
only
times twice. They won.
So I was in Vegas, and I put like $25 on Kentucky to win the whole thing 1 year, and of course
they
made it to the Final Four and lost.
Oh,
and more money down the drain. So I know. It just does me no good.
You can't bet with your heart. I get
That's right.
That's what happened to me. And that's why I don't do it anymore.
Well, and Thomas has learned that lesson a long time, and I'll just segue into what he's going to be doing next Tuesday night. I show up for these seminars all the time, and I get to sit down and listen to you, and I watch people's faces when Thomas is explaining, you see the mark, you've been told this your whole life, here's the truth, and they're just slack-jawed at stuff that they haven't heard before, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, again, most, I would say 90% of the people out there, you have your retirement accounts with a Wall Street custodian, whether it be Edward Jones, Wells Fargo, you name it. And they have only certain tools in their toolbox that they can show you and teach you. And all of them are designed for risk, because that's how Wall Street gets paid. Well, that's fine when you're in your 30s and 40s. But when you get nearing retirement within 5 years, you have to change your mindset, because retirement's a whole new mindset. You can't have it all at risk, because if you go through a downturn like a 2008, within 5 years of you retiring, you never recover.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. And we'll show you actual studies in this workshop that will show it and prove it. So you have to know new strategies that will protect you from the downside, but still give you the growth and income.
Yeah, I was in the industry for a while, and I attended these things before that drag out like an hour, 2 hours. You start to lose people after a while. Thomas learned that lesson a long time ago. So people would come in, and I'm going to be there, Annie Frye will be there, Mark Close will show up for his inaugural,
final,
right?
His final
not
event.
Inaugural, his last event, because he's going to hang it up. He's going to hang up the microphone. But, we'll be greeting people and talking to them and have a little bit of fun ahead of time. But once the thing starts, Thomas is going to take about 45 minutes of your time.
45 minutes, that's it.
And then you're done. And if they want to meet with you afterwards, that's great. Most of them do.
Because that's where they come in and we explain it, answer questions, and they also get a free copy of my book that explains everything in detail. And that's so important to take advantage of that free consultation.
Yeah, I have you as a sponsor, the folks over at Golden Oak Lending. The thing I talk about the markets quite a bit, and yet yesterday the Fed came out and said we're not going to raise interest rates. The markets react to things like
Correct.
That. Those are the kinds of things that, once you're in retirement, you kind of need to know where your income is coming from each month. And
exactly.
if you're tied to something that's variable like that, then your income is going to be variable. That's something people don't think about a lot, I think.
That's so true. That's so true. People don't realize, let's go back to 2008 again. There were people coming to us that lost half of their retirement money. They were getting ready to retire, and they lost half, and they couldn't retire. They had to extend their working years another 5 to 7 years. And that's sad. Imagine you've been planning your whole life ready to retire, and then you lose half of it or more. And this next downturn, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to be big. It's going to be very big, because we're overdue. We've had a 10-year bull run since March of 2009, when that was the bottom of the market, of the bear market. And we're way overdue. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of time. And when that happens, be prepared. Be prepared. Protect that nest egg.
People in the market look at statistical averages, right, of how often those downturns happen.
They sure do.
If you look at it that way, we're overdue.
Overdue.
We're overdue for that happening, not as a result of any policy, but just because of the history of the market. We know that that's going to happen.
Exactly. So, folks, if you want to attend this event, call. We're really booking up. We are full. Every time we have these events, they're completely full. Call the number 855-755-1555 as soon as possible. Once again, 855-755-1555. Get registered for this event. You don't want to miss it. And come out and see Mark Close. It's his final event. And it's fun. We have fun for about the first 15 minutes. Trivia, hand out T-shirts and everything.
Thomas has printed up some cool T-shirts that have got the logos on it, and his logo and the station logo, and a special Mark Close logo on the back that people have to see to appreciate. We'll be giving some of those away. That'll be fun. So again, retirementkey.com is the website. You can go there and to find out more about it as well. Thomas, thank you.
One last time, 855-755-1555. Call immediately, please. Folks, we're booking up.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me on.
Be good. You bet, Thomas. Always good to see you. Appreciate it.
We'll see
that.
You Tuesday.
Absolutely. All right, folks. T-minus 2 hours. You got about that long to get your brackets in. Make sure your money's paid. Get ready. I was in there doing that earlier. Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
You just did.
I just did. Good luck to everybody in the tournament. Kilmeade will be up next with the latest national news. Annie Fry today, noon to 3. We'll see you tomorrow morning.